Hello, welcome to the second edition of The Road to Cheltenham, where we're going to be reflecting on the significant events of the last 7 days and their likely impact on the rest of the season, with some focus on the Cheltenham Festival. I'm pleased to say that Ruby Walsh will be on the blower later on in the programme, but I'm absolutely delighted to say that in the studio here, I've got Kevin O'Ryan. I'm wearing the shades in homage to you, Kevin, and it's fantastic to see you. I haven't seen you since Irish Derby Day.
Yes, looking forward to it, and congratulations on your award tonight.
Bless you.
Thoroughly justified.
Thank you very
much. And I can understand now. I've been in awe of you for the last 20 minutes with all the preparatory work. And hopefully I'm a good substitute for Ruby. Thankfully he's on the phone later on. But a little bit of comedy factor as well with the sunglasses.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
I haven't worn them since Derby.
I try my best. Right, let's get down to business, shall we? There was a really good meeting from Ferry House last Sunday. And there were three races run over hurdles over 2 miles. And we're going to focus on three of the winners, starting with Envoy Alan. Davy Russell on board for Gordon Elliott, initiating a 1-2 there, beating stable companion Abracadabra. And that horse won the novice hurdle, and he looked pretty special. We also had the 4-year-old Cerebus, who was ridden by Robbie Power, initiating a 1-2 for Joseph O'Brien in what was, we will see shortly, quite a steadily run race. He jumped very well, though. And finally, we're also going to look at Janadil, who won for the third time since joining Willie Mullins, the second time in handicap hurdles. He's still a novice, though, and a 5-year-old like Envoy Alan, and he carried slightly less. Now, we're going to compare these three races in a split screen, and we're going to join them at that point in the second left-hand column there at the fourth hurdle. And you'll see that that Janadil's race is in the lead at that point, 1:19.8 is the time at which Polysteel, the front runner, reaches that hurdle. You'll see at that point that Envoy Alan, top right, is slightly behind, and Cerberus is much further behind in what was a steadily run race. Let's focus first of all on Janadil at the bottom, Kevin, who this was a pretty sound performance from him, and he was able to cope with a big field and quite a frenetic pace.
Without doubt, the race was set up beautifully for him as well. This is better than a handicapper. He obviously got a good hike the other day as well. He's still a novice, which is very, very interesting indeed. And I could see him stepping up in trip maybe a small bit also, or staying at the minimum trip. He's got a bit of class as well. I thought stable companion Build Me Up Buttercup, who comes into it off some real... She's a high-rated filly on the flat. She was second in Royal Ascot. She's a real good level of performance on the flat. She just got beat by a filly of Dermot Wells called Castassa in a Premier Handicap Champions weekend at Leopardstown. She went on and won a Group 3 up the Curragh, the Loch Brown Stakes. So she's got rock solid form. But I just think this horse is an improver. He's more class. There's more to come from him. He needs to improve now. He's obviously going to step up into greater company now. Mm-hmm. He's going to have no choice. But I think there's more to come from this horse. I thought coming to the last, he might be in a little bit of trouble, but he's really out-battled the mare, and he's won going away from the line. The race was set up beautifully for him. To be fair, he's in a good position there, third or fourth. They went a good gallop in front. Paddy Kennedy's making it on Jessica Harrington's horse in front.
Polysteel,
exactly. And he was down at the bottom. I think he'd 10-1 in his back. But a hell of a good performance by this horse.
It is. It is really good. Sanjum, and I tend to agree with you. I think the breeding and also the way in which this race is run opens up the horizon of potentially going up in trip. We're going to switch focus in a moment, though, because we're going to stop this race at the second last. And at that point, Janadil's race is still in front on times. But you'll have noticed that in the top right there, Envoy Allen's race has caught up quite a bit. And so to turn the focus to Envoy Alan, top right, he was very, very impressive indeed. I like the way he hurdles.
So do I, and he's a massive big horse. He's great technique. He's low and he's quick over his hurdles as well. And as Davy Russell said afterwards when he spoke to Gary, I was talking to Davy obviously on the way home that night, he was just full of enthusiasm for the horse. He was like a child on Christmas morning. And he says, for such a big horse, he's great use of himself. When he's wrong, he goes in and he pops. And when he's spot on, he says, just give him a squeeze and up he comes. This is a very, very exciting horse. To me, I know people are speaking about, right, we'll run him into champion hurdle and whatever else, but this supreme novice wrote all over him.
You can see that they've almost caught up the Janadil race there. So this was quite a well-run race from start to finish, Envoy Alan. I think he distributed his energy really well, but in a well-run race, which is very much to his credit. You can see on the top left there, Cerberus is still quite a way behind.
Yes, exactly. And just going back to Janadel's race, the race has fallen apart in front, which you would expect after they go on a good gallop. And I'd say Mark Walsh, at this stage you'd say Build Me Up Buttercup, bar a fall, she wins at the last. But I'd say Mark Walsh, in an ideal world, would have liked to have got a lead for a little bit longer, because he's still a relatively green horse and he doesn't have much mileage on the clock. But when Build Me Up Buttercup has come to Janadel, he's gone again. That's what I liked about him. I'd say he wasn't doing a whole pile when he's hit the front, just getting a little bit lonesome.
You can see top right that Envoy Allen has hit the line first. He's done the best overall time. Janadel's race comes in second best, and Cerberus is third best, the slowest run race. Very much controlled from the front by Robbie Power, so the form maybe is open to some interpretation, but he has got a great hurdling technique.
He does, probably jumps a bit better than a Wave of the Sea. Wave of the Sea wanted further on the flat, right? Am I right saying he was unlucky not to win the Ulster Harp Derby? Good premier handicap down Ryle on the flat. To me, right, fast forward on to, it's the road to Cheltenham, fast forward on to Triumph Hurdle. This mightn't make sense. Two of them pitch up. I would be thinking a Wave of the Sea would turn it around, because obviously to win a Triumph Hurdle is not all about speed. You need to stay as well. This horse, this time next year, Wave of the Sea, you could see him running over 2.5 miles because he just lacks a little bit of a gear. The quickest of the two horses is Cerberus, and he got an easy way. He jumped well in front. He jumped better than Wave of the Sea. And obviously Wave of the Sea had the penalty as well, because he'd won twice over hurdles. But if the two of them met in the Triumph Hurdle, I'd have no doubt Wave of the Sea would come out on top.
Yeah, I tend to think that. The closing stage as well, there's only one hurdle for a very long time. This two out in the Triumph Hurdle is a long way out, so that aids you if you're jumping.
And he'll relish coming up that hill as well. Because obviously, as Ruby will say, he rode in loads of Triumph Hurdles, he won plenty of them, but it's not just about speed. You think 2 miles, right, it's all about speed, but it's not. You need stamina as well as speed, and they usually go right good gallop in the Triumph Hurdle. And I think coming to the last furlong, that's when Wave of the Sea. We're surely going to see a lot of good juveniles coming out between, say, now and the run up to Cheltenham. But for me, if the two of them pitch up at Cheltenham together, both of them will run at Leopardstown together. And I think Leopardstown will suit him better than Fairy House, because obviously when you turn into the straight at Leopardstown, you have a right climb all the way up to the line. It doesn't look that much of a climb from watching on TV, but actually if you stand at the bottom bend in Leopardstown, even from the second last, a long way home, it's a good climb all the way, and I could see Wave of the Sea turning around with Cerberus in when the two of them take each other on, which looks like to be the plan in the Grade 2 at Leopardstown at Christmas time.
Absolutely, we look forward to that clash as well. Now it's time to catch up with Ruby and hear which performances he thought were the best of the past week. Ruby, how are you?
Good, Lydia. Yourself?
Very well, thank you. You're here next to me in hologram form. It's lovely. You can't see it, but it is lovely.
Not so bad.
Right, OK, let's start with Fakir Dadaris versus Sam Crowe, shall we? And what did you make of this?
I think jumping was the difference here, Lydia. I thought Fakir Dadaris jumped to me like a 2-miler. He was very low and accurate. And I think the excellence of Fakir Dadaris jumping has people questioning Sam Crowe's jumping. I don't think Sam Crowe jumped at all bad. I think he was a bit novice-y at times, but hey, he is a novice. He's entitled to be, and he's entitled to learn from it. But I just think Fakir Dadaris was so exceptional that it highlighted maybe the novice-iness of Sam Crowe's. And the other runner who's in the shot early in the race is Burrow Saint, and he's a handicapper by right, so I wouldn't be judging Sam Crowe's jumping solely off of this.
OK, let's focus on Sam Crowe and his jumping for a moment. Here is the point where he unseats Jack Kennedy, who's really frustrated afterwards. What did you make of this?
It was speed, and I think when you see it on the next shot, Lydia, the head-on you have as they approach the second last, you can see Jack Kennedy ever so slightly tense his body to squeeze Sam Crowe to go forward. Now, I don't think Sam Crowe responds, because Jack Kennedy immediately eases off and sits back up to take the shorter stride. Sam Crowe just gets a fraction close, and speed takes him out on his nose. Nothing Jack Kennedy can do, but it's speed. It's ever so slightly downhill, and it's just a novice-y fall. He doesn't get his feet out and keep his hind end low enough. But, you know, Fakir Dadaris really attacked it for Mark Walsh, because when he started to ride him, Fakir Dadaris lengthened and pinged the fence, whereas Sam Crowe didn't lengthen.
What do you think about Sam Crowe in terms of his target at the festival as a result of this?
I think, I think if you just look at him, even as a novice hurdle, he went to the Valley Moor, I would think he'd be going to the JLT. And if Fakir Dadaris was mine, I'd be going to Leopardstown at Christmas for a 2-mile novice chase, Leopardstown at the Dublin Racing Festival, and on to the Arkle. I just think he's a brilliant jumper, and at 2 miles, he's going to put a lot of horses under pressure.
Given how well he jumped and given how novicey, your word, Sam Crowe jumped, does it sort of bring the whole comparison down that Sam Crowe was able to actually get back up against Fakir Didaris, if you see what I mean?
I think it doesn't. I think it actually inflates Sam Crowe and shows just how good a horse Sam Crowe is, that he was able to keep tabs on a horse who was jumping so well when Sam Crowe was actually jumping a bit more, like a 2.5, 3 mile horse. I'd say it was just natural ability to get Sam Crowe back up and into the race, and arguably going better when he departed, but who knows what would have happened.
I thought he was going a bit better. What do you think of the quick first fence in the JLT for Sam Crowe?
I think he'll be okay. There won't be the quick first fence. It also means you can't get going that fast, so I don't think that'll be an issue. It'll be more the second, third, fourth and fifth, four fences in the line where he'll have to jump a bit better.
Would you be more confident about Fakir Didaris at, say, Aintree rather than Cheltenham?
No, I think he could be vulnerable at Leopardstown, where there's only two fences in the last five furlongs, whereas in Cheltenham, there's quite a bit of jumping in the Arkle, and I know the second last is now a long way from the third last, but if he can still be in front off the bend heading to the second last, he's going to get ground at both those jumps, and that could be enough to see him all.
And clearly he's a strong stayer at 2 miles, which is what you need.
We saw that last year in Aintree when he was running against Pentland Hills. Mm. I just think he'll be able to go like an old traditional 2 mile chaser. He'll just be able to jump out and go like a Viking Flagship or that kind of a horse. And he has tremendous scope.
Viking Flagship, great memories of that horse. I was intrigued by something that Gordon Elliott said about Sam Crowe. This is the quote. He's on the nebulizer the whole time. Explain what that means, please.
I would have imagined on the nebulizer the whole time means once a day. And the nebulizer is like an inhaler, not like an inhaler, because it's not an inhaler, but it's that kind of effect. And it would be for horses who would scope more with mucus and filling in their throat, larynx, lungs, more so than anything else, to try and get a horse who's always, like a human that's always chesty and always has snot, for the want of a better way of describing it. To get that out of them. That's more. Sam Crowe's probably just not a 100% healthy horse that way.
He had a quite heavy lung infection that was blamed for last season, of course, wasn't it? Is this quite normal for a top-class horse?
Every horses are all different, same as humans. And look, you prefer not to have it, but there are ways of dealing with it. He does live in a stable, a very airy stable. Well, the stable is half inside, half outside. I saw it last week and was built especially for him. But yeah, look, your fresh air and the nebulizer, and you have to keep on top of it. Simple as that.
Let's take a look at another novice chaser, shall we? You wanted to talk about Champ, and lots of things happened in this race at Newbury last weekend.
Yeah, not all his own fault either. I mean, he jumped into the back of the loose horse at the second last or last for the circuit to race and did well to stand up, got his feet very quickly. He brushed the first fence in the back straight, but he got his feet out very fast in front of him. You know, it was a novice effort. He got a bit close, but he got his feet out really quickly. Now, he did guess at the last ditch. You know, maybe Barry could have sent him for it, but, you know, he did throw himself at that, but he would have learned from it. And then at the back of the last, yeah, look, Barry should have made a little bit more effort to be coming round the dull water fence. Champ went for it, but to say he was able to manoeuvre him as sharply as he did, get round it and still win a length, shows you how much he had in the tank.
Yeah, I agree with that. I was actually quite impressed with how nimble he was and also how willing he was. If there was, you know, if you had a slightly less genuine horse, you wouldn't necessarily have managed to make that manoeuvre, would you?
No, you wouldn't. He's obviously a good ride, but his genuinity was also in that he was going to go and take on the water jump. He was going for the next jump. We touched on that last week, how much he likes jumping. He was heading for the next jump and was going to jump it.
Would you like to go up in trip on him eventually? They're thinking Dipper, and then the first time he encounters 3 miles would presumably be in the RSA.
I think it's an ideal way to go. Dipper, soft ground in January, and onto the RSA, where you'll probably avoid the likes of Sam Crowe and maybe the arena.
He was adjusting a bit left. Would that bother you at all?
Not in Cheltenham. Probably would in Punchestown, but definitely not in Cheltenham.
Yeah, well, your kill came to adjust very left, didn't he?
Pardon?
Your kill came to adjust very left.
He did. He went violently left, and he was better at Cheltenham, where there's a running rail right on the inside and he couldn't go left. Mm-hmm. But, you know, Champ, it's ever so slightly, but a lot of horses do it. Go one way or the other, especially when they're on the wrong stride and they need to take an extra half a stride. They take that to the left or right to give themselves an extra yard to the takeoff board to get up and over the jump.
OK, let's leave the novice chasers and move to Honeysuckle. You were quite sweet on this mare last week. And here, she downed another great mare in Apples Jade. Or rather, Apples Jade is the great mare. Honeysuckle's got to prove herself as such.
Yeah, I think we picked it up going to the third last, Lydia. And you know, obviously, Honeysuckle is going much better. But as they round the bend into the home straight, it's not so much Rachel Blackmore's arms or shoulders you should look at. It's more from her knee to her hip. How straight that is, how high her rear end is from the saddle, that shows you how easy Honeysuckle is going. And when Rachel does eventually catch hold of her and start to make her go faster past the two-pole, this mare starts to sprint. Now, it can often be easier to sprint in a 2.5 or 3 mile race against slower horses than it is in a 2 mile race against faster horses, where they've gone to much higher tempo. She jumped the second last really well. Rachel let her slow down and jumped the last. But how she quickened up again from the last, having slowed down, is what's really, really impressive to me. But I still think they're in a quandary. Do you go back to two or do you go up to three at Christmas?
Yes.
I don't know which way I go.
Well, connections are, and also the thrown into that is missing Christmas altogether and potentially coming back in February instead and heading towards the mares. As we understand it, she'll get an entry in both the mares hurdle and the champion hurdle. The stayers hurdle wasn't mentioned. What would you do?
I think there's another option, and I could be way off the mark, and I haven't read the conditions in a long time, but I think she might qualify for the Royal Keel on New Year's Day, would she?
Ooh, I don't know. Good question. Interesting.
I think, I know Annie Power won it. I think she does. I don't think it excludes Grade 1 winners, but I stand to be corrected. That could be another option for her.
And you get a sight of Cheltenham, which of course she didn't.
She would get to, yeah, and go away from home. She hasn't raced outside of Ireland, so you get a chance to bring her away to England, let her stay overnight in a stable away from home, and have a look at the Cheltenham, yeah.
Interesting idea. Well, finally, let's talk about the card. As you just saw him in short being outpaced by Honeysuckle. We had a poll, didn't we, last week, where you were saying that you felt that this horse was the main danger to Paisley Park. I wasn't quite so convinced. We put it to Twitter, and this is the result that we got. Yes, 33%, he is the biggest threat. No, 67%. So I've won something here, Ruby.
You were right, Lydia. I know you were right. Well done. 10 out of 10 to Lydia. You won this one. What's your poll for next week, Lydia? I made that suggestion. We'll let you make a suggestion this week.
Well, when you're back in the studio next week, absolutely, I will make a suggestion. But do you believe that that race necessarily does mean that Bacardi's is no longer the biggest threat to Paisley Park?
I think he has work to do now. He was definitely outpaced, but 3 miles will suit him. Look, I do think Paisley Park is head and shoulders above the opposition. If you're giving me one horse to have a go at him and take him on with, even though he was getting a lot of weight in Newbury, I'd take Thistlecrack to have a go at him again.
Yeah, I tend to agree. And a much more attractive price as well about him. I think he'd be quite interesting. OK, I promise when you're back in this studio next week that I will come up with the question and you can get it right and humiliate me in you know, on Twitter, on Instagram, or Insta, as I think you corrected me.
Don't worry, Lydia. Cheltenham's a long way off. There's a lot of battles, yeah.
It certainly is. Thanks for your time today,
Cheers,
Ruby. Lydia. See you next week.
Bye-bye.
So we've heard what Ruby thinks about Sam Crowe. What did you think? Because the Fakir Daddaris versus Sam Crowe was the race that provoked the most discussion this week, and understandably. We'll start with John Harrison. What do you think of John's point here, Kevin? He thinks the Arkle for Fakir and Sam Crowe is the strongest stray of the two.
I think he makes a good point. I think I'd definitely be looking at the Arkle for Joseph's horse. Ground is the key to him now as well, but obviously with ground coming to Cheltenham now is never quick anymore. Mm-hmm. He wants an ease in the ground. He's a high knee action, but he put in an exuberant round of jumping. Both of them are only having their second start over fences. I think it's the right way. 2 miles for him. Sam Crowe wants to step up and trip.
OK, next one is from Wayne Finter. He felt that Sam Crowe was getting on top of Fakir Daddaris. What did you think?
Visually he was travelling the better, but Fakir Daddaris keeps finding, as we saw over hurdles last season as well. And I think his jumping, obviously the speed that we're going down to it, it's very hard to know. Visually, Sam Crowe looked like he was travelling better. Would he find the whole pile off it? Who knows?
Well, that's what Wayne's saying there. Did he have the guts to get the better of that horse?
Yeah, well, look, I think it's very hard to to speak negatively about Sam Crowe, because there was a justified reason what happened last year. As Ruby said, Gordon has changed a lot of things with him. He's in an outdoor stable. He's an outdoor paddock, walks in and out freely. He's on a nebulizer every day. And obviously a horse like him with a bad lung infection could have easily been suffering from dust allergies or something like that also. That's why Gordon has thought outside the box, have an outdoor stable for him. I think what Gordon has done to bring him back and upside's a proper good horse. There was a good handicapper in behind him, Borough Saint. He's travelling visually better than Joseph's horse. I think we saw Sam Crowe's back to his best, and I think it's very, very hard to crib about him on that performance.
I definitely think the engine was back.
Without doubt.
As does Mark Nevin here. He says that I've got little faith. You're correct, Mark. He was saying that it was a fall of a horse who lacked experience. That was when he delivered that unseat two out. It's a culture shock going from a business chase to a grade one, and he deserves another chance to prove his worth. I just thought he was a bit hesitant at his fences. I thought that over 2 miles that might catch him out. I can see going up to 2.5 miles, but I still think he needs to be a bit more convincing. I wasn't surprised when that was the way the race ended for Sam Crowe.
Yeah, I agree with you. If you didn't have Fakir Dadaris in it, though, you'd have said, geez, Sam Crowe's jumped well. Bit novice-y, only his second run over fences. Mark has made a proper pint. He's gone from winning a beginner's chase to stepping right up to grade one company. As Ruby said, the speed they were going down to that second last, and that was what it was, a novice-y fall. Fakir Dadaris has just put Sam Crowe on the ground because he's jumped it better. He's come up out of Mark Walsh's hands. Jack has gone in for a short one, let him go in and pop it. The landing gear hasn't come out proper, and obviously fall brought about true speed. I think stepping up and trip, he's going to put Sam Crowe into his comfort zone, and he will jump a lot better. I don't think he didn't jump bad. He just wasn't as quick over his fences as Fakir, who was exceptional.
He was exceptional. That is true. There was a Twitter poll as well about which horse would have won had Sam Crowe stood up. 55% of people felt Sam Crowe would. 21% decided to venture as far as to say, we will never know. I mean, we're not going to hold them to it. We're not going to take their house away if they get the question wrong, you know. 21% said, we will never know. The caution of it.
Talk about stating the obvious.
It's beautifully cautious. I just
To be fair, I can see where the 58% are coming from, because visually, you think Sam Crowe's travelling the better.
Yeah.
But there were still two fences to jump. The fences are there to be jumped, the old cliche.
Yeah.
He didn't jump the second last, Fakir Dadaris wins.
Yeah.
Will they meet again?
I doubt it.
So would I.
Yeah, I doubt it. Good question.
Now, Fakir and Sam Crowe are both in, along with Faheen, in a grade one, 2.5 mile novice chase at Limerick on St. Stephen's Day.
Okay. Interesting. I was maybe Punchestown if they meet anywhere.
Good point.
Depending on what happens at the later part of the season. Anyway, interesting one. Right, so I've got some other interesting horses for you. These are a chaser, a hurdler and a juvenile that didn't quite make the Road to Cheltenham column this week, but I thought were worth mentioning nonetheless. So I'm going to start with Carefully Selected, who represents Willie Mullins, ridden by Danny Mullins to win at Fairy House on Saturday. This was over 2.5 miles. I thought it was the kind of performance that suggested National Hunt Chase to me. He was a lightly raced hurdler, but two seasons ago was good enough to finish second in the Champion Bumper at the Cheltenham Festival. Moving on next to Ribble Valley, who's my novice hurdler for Nicky Richards, Brian Hughes on board. This is a substantial win at Wetherby last week, beating Sir Valentine, who was a previous Newbury winner, by 11 lengths in the colours of Monet's Garden for David Wesley Yates. Do remember, though, that this is the kind of connections who are very happy to miss the Cheltenham Festival with a young horse. That is a talented young horse, though, I think. And finally, a juvenile. This is Gubernator, trained by Donald McCain. Again, Brian Hughes was on board for this wide margin success at Wetherby on Wednesday. He was unexposed and improving in three starts on the flat. He wore the headgear there, the hood, on his final of those starts. It's no great shakes of the figures, that performance at Wetherby, but there was something very likeable about it. He'll obviously have to step up in grade. Kevin has also come up with a couple of horses whose performances you particularly liked in the past 7 days, and they are, Kevin.
Very impressed with Nicky Henderson's mare, Epitante. I think this could be one with Bouvardier more than likely going to be out for the season. No point in saying otherwise. The question marks over Willie Mullins' Classical Dream, obviously Saldier as well. And I think this is the value for the Champion Hurdle. I know when you spoke to Nicky afterwards, he knocked you in the head straight away, but he didn't realise the extent of Bouvardier's injuries. She's full of speed, Christmas hurdle, I think, with the £7 allowance, champion hurdle, if she gets there, she's great value.
OK, she's obviously going to have to progress, but she's very much going the right way and she's all about speed.
Correct. And obviously champion hurdles on the new track, while the mare's hurdle last year on the outside track, so it's more, on the old track, so it's obviously more speed is needed for the champion hurdle. I think this filly, a year older as well, I think she's a big player. She does need to improve, but I think she's got that profile that there is plenty of improvement to come.
And you also like Paisley Park's return?
Yes, very impressed at him. Look, it's one of the more obvious ones. Delighted for Andrew Gemmell. I know Andrew Gemmell a long time. What a weekend he's had. He won the Ladbrokes Trophy as well. He's involved at the Rasher counter. And great for Emma and Barry as well. I've been friends with Barry for many, many years. And fair play to Gerry Hogan for buying these two horses as well. But this horse just barely does enough. He hits the front. He was given Thistlecrack. A lot of people will give out that, oh, Thistlecrack's 11 years of age. He's rising 12. Nonetheless, he's a hell of a good horse. Mm. And still retains all his own ability. He's given him plenty of weight, Paisley Park, first run of the season. As soon as he hits the front, his two ears start pricking. Loads left in the tank. Long walk hurdle, cleave hurdle. Interesting here what Andrew Gemmell said. Wants to keep him for Punch's Town as well this year.
It's great.
That would be absolutely brilliant. Andrew loves coming racing to Ireland along with his pal Tom Freel and the lads. And it would be great to have him over there as well. I think Thistlecrack is a great for... I think he's a bigger danger to Paisley Park, if there is one, which I don't think there is, than Bacardi's is.
Yeah. And I think he could end up there. If everything doesn't go right in the King George, he could well end up in the Stayers' Hurdle.
Very much so, because it's such an open race. Take out Paisley Park, the old adage, never be afraid of one horse. It's the obvious race for him. Mm-hmm. Bacardi's would have, he wouldn't have beaten Penhill, but was it 2 years ago and Penhill won it? Was getting really into the race, would have definitely been in the money for falling. Was a two-outer at the last. Patrick Mullins rode him that day, but I don't know, just Thistlecrack for me. I know he'll be 12, but Paisley Park can't see past. Please God, he gets there in one piece, but Thistlecrack is the one to give him most to do.
And finally, we're going to look ahead to the big race on Saturday, and that is the Grade 1 Tingle Creek at Sandown. Not only is it a fabulous race, Nicky Henderson says it could determine what they do with Altior this Christmas. They're getting cold on the King George. Are they going to drop him back to 2 miles? And it'll be on the basis of what, in particular, I'd have thought, Kevin, Defi Desai does in this race.
Exactly, and the way Defi Desai jumps as well over the minimum trip in the, it's a mile and seven. I know it's nearly 2 miles. But with Undesaw there, bids to be the become the oldest horse since, I think, Moscow Flyer to win the race. He's going to go a right good gallop. Mm. And just Defi Desai over the minimum trip, his jumping. I don't know if he jumps quick enough over that 2 miles. And I'd say that's what Nicky is obviously going to wait and see and determine, obviously, what way, you know, what way. If Defi Desai wins and wins well, OK, then it opens it up again for Altior. But if he doesn't, and Politolog, Skouryle, he knows he can beat those again, I'd say he's going to go. I think the Ryanair, what you said last week, is the ideal race for him with a pair of cheek pieces on him as well. But who are we to second guess and doubt Nicky
Henderson? I'm glad somebody thinks it. It's not just me mad by myself in a room. This is the reason that Nicky Henderson is going to look at the Tingle Creek and think about where the horse on the left, Politolog the Grey, finishes, where the horse on the right, So Royal, finishes, how close to Defi Desai they finish, or even if they manage to beat him, because Altior struggled a little bit to get past them in the champion chase last season. So you can see exactly why the Tingle Creek is going to be so pivotal to Altior's programme this season.
Without doubt, without doubt. But I think not going back to go over all ground that Ruby and yourself have covered last week, but I just do think he's crying out for a pair of cheek pieces. I thought that last year as well. He's getting a little bit older and he's just doing, he gets a little bit jady in his races.
Kevin, thank you very much for joining me today. Thank you also to Ruby. Thank you as well. We'll see you soon. We'll be right back.